What do you generally see as sort of the most common problem that patients have that maybe even make you question whether you want to continue therapy in terms of, again, sunitinib and sorafenib?
The biggest dose-limiting toxicity for the oral tyrosine kinases, sorafenib and sunitinib, is the development of hand-foot syndrome. And even though in the reported literature it occurs in about 20 to 30% of patients, even grade 1 and grade 2 can be troublesome for a patient. It can affect their ability to walk normally. It can affect their ability to carry out normal activities. And we must be aware of this early in the course. The biology of the hand-foot syndrome is not really understood. It's not clear whether it's an inhibition of angiogenesis or what's called an off-target effect of the drugs that are multi-targeted agents. But what I do know one thing, and that is that if you early intervene in a person developing hand-foot syndrome, it's rapidly reversible, and with restarting of the drug at a dose-modified dose, it can be given for a continued period of time.
What's the relative impact in terms of the hand-foot for sorafenib versus sunitinib?
I think the literature would argue that the commonality of hand-foot syndrome for sorafenib and sunitinib, since they're both tyrosine kinases, are pretty similar. The anecdotal evidence that we have in my practice, where we see large numbers of patients, is that oftentimes the literature has underreported the side effect, and it's really critical for the physician and their nurse extenders to be aware of this side effect. And as we know as oncologists, oftentimes the best thing to do for a patient about to receive a drug with potential toxicity is alert them to the toxicity before they develop it, so early intervention is possible, as opposed to them being surprised when they develop something that they didn't expect.
Do you utilize anything preventively or therapeutically, any creams and stuff?
Yeah, it's an interesting question about the management of hand-foot. We don't have a good handle in that, but we do have some anecdotes. First of all, if they develop it, what you have to do is you have to stop the dose, allow it to recover, and restart at a dose-modified way. Do not, under any circumstances, continue the treatment expecting that there will be a tachyphylaxis and the side effect will go away.
Again, is that for any level of hand-foot or a certain level?
That's for grade 3 and grade 4. Now, using emollients or things that are lotions are helpful. Steroids are not helpful. But there was an interesting report just recently in a letter to the editor in the Journal of Clinical Oncology that suggested that the topical application of antiperspirants on the hands and feet may affect the hand-foot syndrome. Why? Because it may be that the concentration of the drug is selectively increased in glands in the hands and feet, that if you block it through some mechanism, may ameliorate the hand-foot syndrome. I have to tell you that anecdotally, we have seen some positive evidence of this in my practice at City of Hope, and I'm looking forward to hearing more information about that at our national meetings, including anecdotal experiences.
So, how often do they spray it on, and when do you tell them to do it?
So, I don't think anybody really knows the answer of when you should apply it. What I tell my patients to do is to start immediately. Because I know that if they're going to develop it, what I'd like to do is give them an opportunity to be on as full dose as humanly possible. And if you roll on Banrolon or some antiperspirant and you put that on your hands and feet a couple times a day, it would be interesting to see over time in prospective trials whether that's helpful. I will tell you one anecdote just because it's interesting, and my nurse has done this, and that is I've used patients as their own internal controls. What I've done is I've asked them to put it on one hand and one foot and not on the other hand and the other foot to see whether this is really a positive effect. And believe it or not, we now have anecdotal experience where the hand and foot where the antiperspirants were applied had less hand-foot syndrome than the hand and foot that didn't have the antiperspirant applied.
That's wild. How many patients have you seen that on?
Just 3 patients because we've just started this recently.
I've got one you probably haven't heard, which is head and shoulders for the rash of erlotinib. Have you heard that one?
Yes, and I think the whole area of, well, let me give you a little bit of oncology history, and that is that it's often taken years after a drug is approved for the oncologist and the community to really get a handle on toxicity management. And it often comes through anecdotes exactly like this. The practicing oncologist isn't going to wait for randomized trials for toxicity management. They're actually going to try things and anecdotally figure it out. So whether it's Head and Shoulders for the erlotinib, gefitinib rash, or it's antiperspirant for the hand-foot syndrome, it's a big use of the practicing oncologist's ability to inform the clinical oncologist researcher about the questions that we should ask. And in fact, I believe that's how we'll affect these.
Just to clarify, though, you've observed or heard this thing about Head and Shoulders?
We have certainly heard about Head and Shoulders, although I will tell you that for the erlotinib and gefitinib rashes, the more standard approach would be the early intervention of antibiotics with things like minocycline, the discontinuation of the drug if it's severe, and the application of topical emollients when appropriate.